We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The player that I personally see them trading up for, if he just slips just enough, is got to be Brian Thomas Jr. Mm-hmm. Like, we've talked on Twitter about him kind of getting put in like a DK Metcalf route tree early on in his career, which is going to be very productive for the way he's built as a receiver, where it's a lot of curls and goes. Fun fact, Josh Allen, that's the two most targeted routes that Josh Allen has basically year in, year out, because teams... Yeah. are terrified of his big, strong arm. And if you add him to this offense, then you're looking at someone I see as just a very big upgrade over Gabe Davis. Obviously, it's not Stephon Diggs. That's not what they're going to be able to replace. It's not going to go the way that the Minnesota trade worked, where they just got Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs. But if you add him into this room, then you have the necessary pieces to be a very productive offense.
Jordan Vanek with Matt Harmon on Brian Thomas Jr., big body, yards after catch. How about the... specific route tree stuff there from Jordan Vanek. He'll be good at these two routes. Those are the routes Josh throws the most. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas Jr. Jordan Vanek there with Roto Grinders and the 33rd team. See plenty of trade-up ideas for Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
For the Bills.
Did we call him yesterday their most likely pick?
We were discussing if you and a bunch of friends drafted receivers,
yeah.
and whoever got the guy the Bills gets wins, is Brian Thomas Jr. the first pick?
Right.
Because he could fall into their neighborhood. He does fit something they might want. It wouldn't be as expensive as the other guys, that the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he might be the first pick in a who are the Bills going to draft draft.
Yeah. The one big criticism of him is the numbers, right? The yards per route run is low for him, not as low as Adonai Mitchell. I respect that argument that a lot of the data people are not in on Brian Thomas for that reason. The one thing that I have, though, in my head about Thomas, and maybe Mitchell too to a lesser extent on this front, or it may be the same, how do you get the anomaly? There's a long list of guys that have a bad yards per route run number in college that just didn't turn into anything. Jonathan Mingo in Carolina, nothing in his rookie year. Tyquan Thornton's on this list. Like, it's just a bunch of guys that have done nothing in the league. And then there's DK Metcalf. How do you get to be the anomaly? And how do you get to be a legitimate, good NFL wide receiver, great NFL wide receiver with production like that? And if I'm chasing the Metcalf comp, what did Metcalf have that Brian Thomas also has? In fact, they're two of only three receivers ever to run a sub 4.35 being 6'3 or bigger. You got to have not just great athleticism, you've got to have historic athleticism to overcome or to achieve numbers in the NFL when you didn't in college, if you're looking at the Metcalf comparison. And Thomas did that. It's him, Adonai Mitchell, and Metcalf. They're the only guys to run that fast at that size. And the other thing I might need, an explanation for, okay, some logic behind how didn't you get the ball as much. And in both circumstances, well, this guy over here had 1,200 yards, and it's college football. A.J. Brown had back-to-back 1,200-yard seasons at Ole Miss. Malik Nabers was at LSU. I got comparables there of, I've got freak athletes that were behind stud receivers in college, and can I get Thomas to be the next anomaly like Metcalf was? I think there's enough backing that idea that he can still be a great pro despite the fact that it didn't really fully translate in college.
1 week out, I'm Brian Thomas of LSU. He took only 13% of his snaps from the slot in the sample that Matt Harmon did. He's a boundary receiver. Something the Bills need is a boundary receiver. And he might not be the perfect prospect to be a future number one, but it's laid out there in the clip for Jordan Vanek. What they need is someone someone to complete what this offense could potentially do. So, to me, it makes plenty of sense to go Brian Thomas Jr., big play number two receiver. The obvious question becomes, if he is not going to be a number one, how desperately will the Bills seek having a new number one? Before Diggs, they didn't have it. With Diggs, they had it for four straight years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, the idea of just replacing that, that's easier said than done. Not every team just goes out and gets one of those guys.
Right.
So you could chase it. You could find it somewhere along the way. Maybe you draft a guy in the fourth round and he blossoms and everything's great. But
yeah.
I kind of don't think the Bills, if they're moving up to the top 10 for one of the big three, all right, then you're gunning for a true number one. I don't think if you take Brian Thomas, you're really gunning for that so much as what he can deliver immediately.
The thing I like more about him, by the way, than Mitchell, is he's got like that quick twitch. Like, ball in his hands, you just see him step around guys.
Yeah.
And Mitchell is not going to be that guy. Which is fine. He could still be a great pro doing that, but Thomas just feels like he's got every tool in the tool bag. He just might need the right quarterback and coaching staff to bring it out of him. But because, again, he's a historic level athlete for the position. That, like, if I can get that to come to fruition, like, you might hit a massive home run without having to go into the top 10.
So on Brian Thomas Jr., going to get a call in here in a moment, but Tyler Dunn, GoLongTD.com, he has Bob McGinn's draft series. He's done it for 40 years, Bob McGinn has done. He talks to scouts, formerly did it for the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bob McGinn Football, and now for Tyler. And his scouting report of Brian Thomas Jr., again, like, maybe you've been listening the couple times when we went back to great receivers and the things that were said about them. Everybody's got warts on their scouting report. They pour through film. They pick you apart. What's wrong with him? So here's the few knocks on Brian Thomas Jr. from Bob McGinn. That he's got a lot of potential to be a true number one X. But he writes, Bob McGinn, I can't stand the way he plays. I do not like his disposition. He's the classic. He's running, and the first down marker is 3 yards away from him. He steps out of bounds a yard short. I don't know if I'd call him timid inside, but he's definitely not rugged. If someone has him ranked way higher than me, I get it. But most of the guys in the top 10 at wideout are high-level competitors. I would say he's not. That's just one scout, what they relay to Bob McGinn, that maybe he's not a dog. The way that you would want.
Yeah.
And that's something, of course, the Bills are going to look for. Here's a funny thing. Who are they replacing? Gabe Davis, their Iron Bill workout warrior team captain, does everything. They love him more than anything in the world. They let him go because they couldn't afford him. And who's the other guy they're replacing? Diggs, who, put aside what people say about, he's a Trump problem, the hardest worker the team has ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, in a different way. Driven competitor to a fault.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. You got to replace those two. So maybe the Bills are in there keying in on these receivers. There's all the tangibles and the 40 times and the, you know, the size and the... And then there's the, does he play like every play is his last? Is he going to give us 100% every single play? Because this team, Joe, has had issues with players they've drafted in practice habits. Whether that's Kyir Elam, who can't get on the field because of what, how he practices? And then James Cook. Along the way, James Cook kind of had to learn how to practice right. Feels like that was a conversation where it was about learning how to be that kind of player. So I think it's definitely in the mix for the Bills, and that gives me pause. If they think that, again, one scout thinks that, the Bills might not think that at all. James in Derby. Hey, James, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a huge proponent of doing a massive trade-up in the first round. Even something crazy like going up to like 4 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. But my question is, if the Bills do that and they're able to get one of the big three receivers, how would the rest of the league view that? Would it be looked at as like an A grade, or would it be kind of looked at as, oh, you traded your future for a question mark and we already have good receivers on this team, might not be the best value to do it?
You mean if the Bills traded for Marvin Harrison Jr., would the league say you didn't have to do that, you already have good receivers?
Right, or, you know, there's other options there, you know, if a year later Ladd McConkey ends up being the best receiver out of the draft, I mean, it's going to be a huge waste of resources to do that. But
thanks, James. I would say it only comes down to whether or not the Bills win, you know?
Yeah.
If you win, it was great. And I definitely don't think that the league would look at it and say, you already had good receivers. I don't think this receiving room scares anybody in the league.
Nope.
Right now. Samuel's nice. Shakir looks really nice. Kincaid looks really nice. But it's not a skill group that I think, you know, puts fear in the hearts of defensive coordinators.
No.
If they got Marvin Harrison Jr., you'd see a graphic says who stops this offense, right? Like, I mean, he would elevate them. There were some scouts that thought Marvin Harrison Jr. could have been a number one receiver in the NFL last year. Yes.
If he had come out last year. He might not have been eligible.
If he had just been in the NFL,
yeah.
He would have been capable of being a number one receiver on some teams.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been Carolina's number one receiver last year.
You mentioned the Cardinals, like maybe they could trade down and have the most draft capital in back-to-back drafts. Wouldn't they be nuts not to draft him?
I think so.
You're the Cardinals. The guy's you're going to have a statue in front of your stadium of that guy one day. You've done nothing in your franchise's history. You can go get the superstar like that. Just don't even mess around. Just draft him. You've already got a quarterback, too, right? Like him and Kyler Murray, he'll catch 1,500 yards this year if they just throw it all the time. I think they'd be crazy not to, you know, just draft him at number 4, assuming it goes quarterback 1, 2, 3.
Is it going to go quarterback 1, 2, 3?
Is New England weird now? Because I'm seeing more and more. The draft's got to get here, right? Like, we've been staring at this for far too long. You see, you mentioned Bob McGinn, part of his story yesterday about Adonai Mitchell being type 1 diabetic and like whether or not he takes care of it or like the maturity stuff and everyone freaking out about that. Just we got to get to the draft. New England, the things I've seen in recent days is, and this has been kind of out there for months, do they feel like they're ready for the quarterback? Would they not pick it just because they don't want the quarterback placed in an offense where they think it's just going to be him alone and that's going to be bad for development or whatever?
I can't believe anybody makes that point. We're not ready for the quarterback.
Right. I'm hearing that. That's what the Bills got talked about when they didn't draft Mahomes.
Right.
It's
most ridiculous things you could possibly say.
Uh-huh.
The Bills in that case were picking 10th.
Right. A little different.
You're picking 3rd.
Mm-hmm. And seemingly a good quarterback class. It's not the Kenny Pickett year where there's nobody worth it.
I can't even believe a team could say we're not ready for the quarterback. Then don't play him. Fine. Mm-hmm. Take him. You're not going to be here again. Oh, maybe you are, I guess. We are not ready for the quarterback. I can't even... It's the same kind of thing that's, well, Caleb Williams is going to want to not go to Chicago because the organization's a disaster. What do you think the teams that pick number 1 are?
Yeah.
They're in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he went to the Jaguars. Wow, that beacon of success. Oh, he went to the, who else has been drafting first over the years?
Burrow to the Bengals.
The Bengals were
a train wreck.
I mean, they did have a lot of good years there with Andy Dalton.
Kyler Murray.
Arizona.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the worst team in the league. They're not supposed to look good.
Right. But I'm not defending, like, I think it's ridiculous, too, that any team would ever arrive at that point. Would New England act on that because they feel like it just happened to them? Do they feel like Mac Jones was on an island on an offense and that's why he isn't on the team anymore and isn't their quarterback?
Sure.
I think that's nonsense. I think he's not their quarterback anymore because he's not that good.
He also was on an island, which is their fault.
Right.
It's like the meme of, you know, the guy in the hot dog suit. We're all trying to figure out who did this.
Right.
You did it.
But that's the talking point I've seen, which is Mayo knows that it's just going to happen again if I plug this quarterback right in away. I've got to build around it before I plug him in.
Okay, so what I've got to do is build an entire team and waste, what, 2 years to build an offensive line and skill positions that I'm ready to take a quarterback in, and now I'm picking 14th 2 years from now, and I got fired. It's insanity. Of course they should take a quarterback at three. And if it just happened to them with Mac Jones, they should take another one in 2 years if Drake May flames out because they weren't good enough around him.
Right. Especially if it's Drake May.
What do the Bills have around Josh Allen in his rookie year?
Oh, geez, nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, my, nothing at all.
Calvin Benjamin, Robert Foster.
They remade the receiving core halfway through because it was so bad.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Did C.J. Stroud, did they have it all built around him with the second pick last year?
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins, Tank Dell. These guys are not household names yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. If New England does that, then good luck.
Oh, I'll be glad for it if they don't pick. If especially Jaden Daniels is the heavy favorite right now to go second. If it's Drake May on the board and New England passes, I mean, I like May. Well, you never know, but I think that will be insane if they don't draft Drake May.
Jaden Daniels, you want to talk about like some of the advanced numbers? Jaden Daniels has some unbelievably horrific numbers on his passing. How often he just scrambles. Like, what percentage of the time does Jaden Daniels stand and deliver?
Uh-huh.
It's like 36% of his dropbacks.
That he scrambles?
That he stands and delivers on 36.
Oh, that he stays, like, in the...
Yes.
That's wild.
So many of the scouting reports are the eyes drop and he just runs. His eyes drop and he scrambles. And, man, I would not be touching it.
I saw him compared to... he's Jalen Hurts light, I saw yesterday.
All right. We've seen Lamar comparisons. Not close, I don't think.
No.
Justin Fields, okay. Mobile guys,
I guess. One might be better because doesn't Fields like bolt out of the pocket at
Fields
every given chance and take sacks?
Very, very bad at that, yes.
Yeah.
Fields takes sacks.
Yeah.
And a quarterback that takes a lot of sacks is a red flag. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can join us. We'll chat some Sabres. Paul Hamilton, 830 on locker cleanout from yesterday. And more to come. 1 week until our draft party. Join us. We'll be at Resurgence. Come hang out. We're going to have, you know, drinks, games, trivia, the wide receiver big board, Thursday night, draft night,
pizza,
TVs, pizza, volume up, good times. And we'll see if the Bills get it done. They did have a running back in for a visit yesterday.
Oh,
Another running back. I don't think he's a first or second round pick, though, so it's fine.
All right.
It's good.
Well, they've already had the top running back in, so they couldn't do that again.
They did. That's right. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.